It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Earlier this month, we took listeners on a tour of historic houses in the Observatory Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh, where residents have restored their homes to early 20th century splendor with some modern conveniences. While the do-it-yourself home makeover isn't as quick and easy as those on HGTV, what they have in common is the unexpected drama involved in renovation. Essential Pittsburgh assistant producer Heather McLean explored the challenges of the home restoration and renovation process, from some of the horror stories to resources with a uniquely Pittsburgh quality.
About a mile from the Observatory Hill neighborhood, Erica Barris and Andy Moore are renovating their North Side home. Like many Pittsburgh houses, it dates back to the 1890s. Previous owners left little historic character behind when converting the building into a duplex in the 1970s. So, for better or for worse, the renovation path is completely up to them, making it a bit easier to deal with the unexpected elements that can sometimes be unearthed in the renovation process.
The true lesson of home renovation projects is if you want to do one thing, but then there's two or three or four other things pop up. So we thought we could easily just take this wall down and do a big slab countertop that would double as like a table and a bar. But as we broke into the wall here, we found copper pipes, other pipes, plumbing here, electrical everywhere. And a lot of it doesn't really make sense from a design standpoint why they put it there in the first place. So now we're just going to have to work around it. Column and a column, and then on the maybe 3 feet in, there will be another column on the other side of the counter going all the way up because of more piping. So what we're doing is just knocking stuff down.
Ron Tanner is an author who frequently visits cities like Pittsburgh, where there's a growing interest in home restoration. In his book, From Animal House to Our House, A Love Story, Tanner chronicles his experiences in the historic preservation of his Victorian home in Baltimore.
The house was condemned property, and what that meant was that there was garbage in every room. The frat boys had left all their furniture behind. The floors were ruined. The plumbing was shot, but the toilets were full. All of the walls had been vandalized, been strafed with graffiti. The mantles were gone. The boys had taken baseball bats and batted out 72 hand-turned balusters from the stairway. The roof needed repair. Three ceilings were falling in. The back porch was in very bad shape and infested with rats.
With an upcoming talk at Construction Junction in the Point Breeze neighborhood, Tanner is spreading the word on why historic preservation is key to the emergence of livable cities such as Pittsburgh.
Statistics are showing that we have a huge influx of young urbanites who want to live in very cool places. And if they're not living in cool places, they want to hang out in cool places. You know, their local cafe, they would rather that local cafe be, say, an historic building. And what we're talking about here is not mothballing. We're not talking about, you know, making everything into a museum. What we're talking about is repurposing it. We're talking about making the best of the, you know, the old architecture and with new uses.
For homeowners like Andy and Erica, who are in the throes of the renovation process, Ron Tanner would have the following advice.
Get together, make a plan, prioritize your list of things to do. That's kind of one and two. The third thing is to do the work in stages and phases. Do not attempt to take, say, one room and just make that the room and say, okay, we're going to knock this out and this is going to be grade A, 100%. This room's going to be absolutely fabulous. Well, the rest of the house is going to suffer and you're going to feel that.
But Erica and Andy have a slightly different game plan.
Create like a little nook where you can sit and that room is somewhat finished and right. And fine, and you can, you know, read a book or watch TV and not feel like you're in a construction zone. So we've definitely got like a nook that we can go to.
Whatever the approach, with Pittsburgh's abundance of affordable housing stock, support can be found almost anywhere.
There's so many people who are buying abandoned homes or fixer-upper homes. Chances are you've got a number of friends who have either completed a restoration or are in the process of it themselves. So it's very easy to find folks who have done similar things that you're doing.
When it comes to do-it-yourself inspiration, a key resource is Construction Junction.
This is my I wish I could have this piece. It's a beautiful stained glass window, and it's been here for such a long time that the price now is ridiculous. But what it would be fabulous for is to do a divider in a master suite. It doesn't have to be a window. Just put
Sharon Danovich is an interior designer who visits at least once a week for quality items she knows she might not use for 1 to 2 years.
I've lived in other cities, but I think Pittsburgh has the best sampling of architecture. You know, New York is known for its brownstone. Chicago is known for its prairie-style house. Pittsburgh has Tudor revivals, colonial revivals, four squares. It's almost like a name it of architecture. And, you know, from visiting other people and seeing other houses or going on a house tour when it's open house, when you're looking for a new home, you see what they have and what isn't in your house, or what you have and what they need.
Construction Junction plays a role in that exchange by encouraging contractors to reuse and drop off construction materials. As we roam the aisles of ceiling fans and bathtubs, it's clear that this place can be a do-it-yourself muse for those who see the value of preservation.
Construction Junction has a number of different pieces that you can pick from. The lighting that's here, or you can add a piece to it. The globes are beautiful. The knobs for the doors are right here and gorgeous, as well as just the simple little items that you would need to complete a fixture. You might have half of it when you buy a house. Well, the other pieces are here. And, you know, you can go online and Google what that piece of lighting looked like, and you can come to Construction Junction and for a few dollars actually buy the pieces that you need.
In Sharon's Edgewood home, the values of what she's found are quite clear.
This is a simple mantle from Construction Junction. There at one point was a fireplace here. They removed all the fireplaces on the second floor. The previous owners did it. I'm not sure why. And I always wanted a window seat. So this fabulous piece of furniture that's a bottom, probably of a break front, I purchased at Construction Junction for $5. As I was painting it, I realized that it was a Kittinger that was made in Buffalo that was a Williamsburg reproduction. So if the whole break front had been there, it's a $12,000 piece.
Sharon has become adept at creative reuse and says in Pittsburgh, even large companies like Google see the value of making something new and unique out of something old.
They made all their desks out of doors, which was good because it actually gave them a sense of space and I own this and this is mine, you know, pride for where they were.
For all of the home renovationists I spoke to, that's what seems to make the pitfalls, the hammering, and the patient searching worthwhile. A sense of pride in the final product. For Essential Pittsburgh, I'm Heather McLean.
To see pictures of Sharon's Williamsburg reproduction and a slideshow of other items from Construction Junction, visit our website at wesa.fm.